Welcome to Lovell with Emily Reese. This music comes from a new album of orchestral video game covers. It's called the Ethereal String Project. I really like this album because of the refreshing and thoughtful arrangements. You'll hear from arranger Josh Barron and performer Andrew Steffen coming up. And the fact that these two ended up finding each other as collaborators is pretty neat, and I can't wait for you to hear more. Our patron of the week is Jean-Marc Giffen. I had the pleasure of meeting him a couple different times during PAX Prime in Seattle. And let me just say this, whole patron of the week business is a million times cooler than I expected. I mean, I expected it to be fun and great and cool, but it's just exceeding all of my expectations because you are all amazing people and you really like amazing music. You're going to hear Jean-Marc talk about music from Professor Layton and a game I'd never heard of called Valdis Story.
I'm a big fan of the Professor Layton series. I guess because of its focus on story and puzzles and mental challenges and surprises rather than action and battle, which is, you know, the majority of games in general, or at least the ones that I grew up playing. So playing them was kind of a big breath of fresh air, and it had a unique animation style and everything. And so in the third Professor Layton game, it takes place mostly in London, and they had this piece of music that was produced with a synthetic orchestra. And it was a really well-composed piece, but every time I hear a well-composed piece, game music that sounds like it's trying to be real but isn't, I always kind of wish it was recorded live. And so in the Azran Legacy, they go back to London at one point and it starts playing that piece of music, but this one is recorded with a live orchestra. And I was just like, this is it. This is what this piece always deserved.
The other piece I chose was from a game I was unaware of and a composer I was unaware of. And this piece is so cool. And is it Valdis Story? How do you say that word?
I've only seen it written. I say Valdis, but...
Okay. The track you chose is called Thriven with Life. So tell me why you love this piece so much.
I heard the soundtrack for this game before I even played it. And it was so good that I just like bought the game. I was like, I don't even know what kind of game this is. But in particular, yeah, I heard this track, and Zach just has this masterful blend of synthetic sounds, like the FM bell and pads towards the beginning, with very organic sounds, like the strings and the guitar, the piano. And this piece of music really introduced me to the didouk, which I just think is an amazing instrument. And this song just gives this kind of Chrono Trigger vibe to it, which is probably one of the highest compliments I can give it. And on a more personal note, I actually reached out to Zach Parrish to tell him how good his soundtrack for this was. And, you know, and I had questions about how he did stuff because, you know, I've always been sort of interested in the production of music, but have been daunted by it. And he answered all my questions. He provided me with source material, and he said, you know, which instruments I used for what. And it's because of this and other similar reasons that I like actually started to shift my career path towards doing music for video games myself. So this piece in particular has both like musical elements that I adore, but also like personal things that actually changed my life to no exaggeration. I'm really grateful to Zach Parrish. His music is amazing. And
cool.
I feel like I owe him a lot for having composed the soundtrack for this game.
Very cool. Your other choices were Strike the Earth from Shovel Knight by Jake Kaufman. Wind Garden from Super Mario Galaxy, of course, so amazing. And more amazingness from Chrono Cross, and you chose Time Scar. All great stuff and a great list, and I really appreciate talking with you about it.
I appreciate you having me on, and I love the show, so it's an honor to be here.
You can learn more about how to become a patron of the week at patreon.com/level. All right. The Ethereal String Project just released their first album of orchestral video game covers. You're going to hear music from Skyrim. It's not the Dragonborn theme. That's been done a time or two. They picked something different, which is nice. Metal Gear, Mirror's Edge, Mass Effect, Halo, all kinds of good stuff. Andrew Stefan and Josh Barron have a good story, too. You'll hear from Josh first.
I had been looking for a way to perform my arrangements. I had about four or five of them already done from things that I had actually done in high school. And I wanted to actually update them to the knowledge I acquired along the way. And Andrew was actually looking for someone to actually arrange music for him for his experiment. So really, the Ethereal String Orchestra is his idea, taking two people and trying to create a big orchestral sound. His recording methods are like Greek to me because, you know, I'm more along the writing side, but he does a very meticulous process that he can recreate a really large sound that you hear on the CD.
I'm a musician through and through, and I love playing. I love playing with others, and any venue I can have to make music, I love to do. Mm-hmm. So I would make small-scale arrangements for friends, and we might play through them, but my strength is most certainly not in arranging. My strength is in playing. And as I started doing more and more recording, I started having more ideas, and I started playing around with just a lot of panning and reverb, and kind of took ideas from other YouTube artists who play drums, guitar, bass, or multiple singing parts, and I decided, well, why don't I try that with acoustic string instruments, and why don't I try to make a string orchestra with just myself? For a while, I was doing technical demos through my YouTube channel where I would keep trying it, and there's a decent-sized audience there. And through all of that, Josh found my performances and approached me and said, hey, I have arrangements. Would you be willing to play them? And I said, well, I can play them. I do not have much skill with arrangements, but I know strings. And everything after that blossomed out of that original premise.
Who's the pianist, then? Do you play that too, Andrew?
I do not.
We actually have three of them and all scattered around the place. We have Kevin Juan, who is currently studying in Berkeley in Valencia, Spain. And he's got an amazing following on YouTube under the name Resinaga. And then we also have Ramon von Englenhoven, who's a pianist in Europe. He's played in a lot of really reputable concerts over there. And then we also have Kay the pianist, who is also on YouTube.
Tell me more about some of the arrangements. Josh, you mentioned you did some of them in high school. Which ones were those?
Well, I ended up doing Fang's theme. Some tweaks because obviously Andrew's more knowledgeable about strings. So when I came into this project, I had next to no knowledge about how to orchestrate strings. So he and I, through this collaboration, really learned off of each other. Mm-hmm. So I was able to recreate that. And then Eternity was also a piece that started off as a small chamber arrangement in high school.
I Was Lost Without You from Mass Effect. That is such a great arrangement. And that's one of those pieces for me that I still get moved by that, because for me in that game and that series, you know, that was a good moment. So that's a very nice arrangement.
Actually, Sam Hulick had sent a message to me on Facebook, because I, as a courtesy, I actually sent it to all these different composers, and he was one of the few that responded back. Mm-hmm. And he said he really loved to hear it just played live, and he really liked the. I took a lot of inspiration from Beethoven in the piano, especially using the triplets in the leading line and kind of giving it a Moonlight Sonata kind of sound.
Tell me more about your musical lives. Andrew, let's start with you.
All of my training and in my history is actually through the educational path. I have an undergraduate degree and a master's degree in music education. So for most of my time, I spend my time and enjoy my time teaching music in the public schools. I teach middle school orchestra to over 130 12 through 14-year-olds. And it's something that just is very much my passion. Mm-hmm. And I could not imagine life any other way. But outside of that, I also perform here in Iowa with the orchestra called Orchestra Iowa. It's a regional professional orchestra, so I'm a section viola member there. And I've often found that my education and my teaching informs my own performing, and my own performing informs my teaching, and that informs my performing, and it all goes back and forth. I still have more outlets that I wish to seek. And that was where all of the, originally just a YouTube channel of myself and bringing in some friends through YouTube and my collaborative efforts started coming out. It's just being creative and getting a chance to kind of do my own thing. That has since blossomed into the collaboration with Josh and now the group I call the Ethereal String Orchestra. When it does come down to it, I am in the school to teach music, and I try and make that my main focus.
And teach a 29-year-old how to orchestrate strings.
Write the strings.
Well, clearly you have had a musical background, Josh, or you wouldn't have even arranged it in the first place, right?
Yeah, I've been arranging since I've been 11 years old. I taught myself how to play. I've been in high school band. And eventually when I graduated, I taught students as well to march, and I even arranged a few warm-ups. I never was quite given the chance to arrange a show, but it was still having that concert wind experience really helps with structure and the overall blend. So when I write strings, I could write them as a part of a larger group better, and I'm pretty much self-taught as far as composing and arranging.
So what's your instrument, Josh?
Primarily trumpet, and then I would consider piano my secondary.
What are some of the things that you did learn about arranging strings that perhaps, you know, might help someone who's listening or you wish you would have known it sooner?
One thing I learned is that you definitely have to pay attention to what each individual does. They're very much a team. So you have, once you figure out what violins primarily are supposed to do and viola and cello and bass and so forth, you can kind of get a grasp of how they work as a team, and also listening to a lot of string music. I listen to Debussy and Ravel and just even Sibelius, and Ralph Vaughan Williams would be another one, especially since I'm a Jeremy Soule fan. So his music derives from that, which I learned from your show Top Score.
Oh, nice.
But you know, like, as going into it, definitely find other musicians that are willing to talk about it and to kind of guide you. And definitely don't be afraid to ask questions. I humble myself all the time with Andrew, asking him questions. And he gives me study scores and all these things to look at and all these great resources.
So, Andrew, you know, I'm a trumpet player, too, and if I wanted advice from you, what are some of the things that you think of right away when you're approaching a wind player like us?
The most interesting thing about strings is that there's a huge difference between the quantity of string players and what the string players are with, in that a string orchestra changes significantly when you have a large, large string orchestra, most prominently known through the Tchaikovsky String Serenade. When you start paring it down to like the chamber orchestra setting of maybe 17, 18 members across the whole orchestra, different stuff works. And when you pare it down even further into a quartet, different things work. The odd thing that happens is that the larger the group becomes, the more important I find it for unison to be true. Unison figures and unison patterns, and that for whatever reason, string quartet parts will be very independent. Cello will be doing its own thing, going across the range of the instrument, and viola across the range, and violin and second violin. And they kind of pair up and then work in teams loosely, but they're generally very separate. And when a wind player approaches strings, they'll often approach it from that angle. When it gets to the large string ensemble, its strings sound best when they're in close proximity range and when they're doing similar rhythms. Even something like the Tchaikovsky String Serenade with, you know, 60 string players across their parts, pretty much all 60 people will be doing the same rhythm or within the same harmony, which is just bizarre to me, both from a composition and a performing standpoint, because you think with more players, they can be more independent. Sure. But as both me and Josh have kind of figured out, when you start dividing up the string orchestra, it's very difficult to get those individual things to stick out. Sure. With the larger ensembles, the more unison, the better.
Tell me about some of the ones that surprised you that you heard and just became your favorites. What are some that stand out to you in that way?
I'd have to say that my Skyrim pieces really stand out as the set. I definitely wanted to use the strings in a way like especially in Secunda. I wanted to take the strings and make it sound like glaciers sliding against each other. That and Ancient Stones really, really set itself apart, because we get down to the bare essentials of the strings being one person apart.
How about you, Andrew? What were some of your favorites?
As I was working with Josh, I was loosely familiar with his work as we started working. And the more he kept sending me works, the more I would send him every time back that this is like nothing I've heard from you before. And that every single piece was something that I wasn't expecting, and I find that to be a favorite thing across the album. Sure. Ones that stick out to me are definitely Aryut Village, just with viola and piano and then viola and muted string orchestra. There's just something absolutely wonderful about muted string orchestra. Of course, it has a viola solo, and viola is my main instrument, so it sticks out from that angle most especially. But I also have a second favorite of the Tactical Espionage Suite, in that it's very easy to make pretty, flowing, gentle string arrangements. It's very interesting, though, that strings can be very aggressive and very heavy and very that complete other side of string playing, that 1910 to 1950s era of just very edgy and very uncomfortable and extremes of range. And so I appreciate and love listening to Tactical Espionage just because it's not necessarily always pretty, and it's a complete contrast to everything else on the album.
Josh, you have another project you're working on as well, right?
Yes, Andrew's also a part of that as well.
Oh, wonderful.
Among many other people, we have a lot of people from the Materia Collective. Mm-hmm. It's European folk. We're definitely busting out some really interesting sounding arrangements. Quite a departure from their originals. Just me alone, I took a Final Fantasy V piece, Home Sweet Home, and turned it into Norse. But it's called The Travelers, and we are a small group of less than 20 people. We're planning on releasing that around the summer. The whole concept is, imagine everybody in this group is a traveling group of minstrels, and we travel from pub to pub in Europe. And we create that sound and play video game music from various Japanese RPGs.
Where can people buy the Ethereal String Project?
Well, we're on Loudar, and we're also on iTunes. And if you want to listen to the whole thing free, we're also on Spotify. We're always looking for more support to make bigger projects. Ethereal String's follow-up is going to be all Yasunori Mitsuda music. So the more funding we get with this album, we can do a lot more with that. This job has just been a really big dream, and being on the show and all the press that we're getting lately, it shows a lot of support. We definitely would like a tour at some point, so if anybody's listening that would like to do that for us, we definitely would like to go on the road.
It's been fantastic. Let us know what you think of the album. We're always looking to improve. A lot of this started as an experiment, and I don't know if the experiment ever finishes.
Well, wonderful job with the CD. I again, just really refreshing arrangements, and everything was really well done. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's an honor.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks for listening to episode 15 of Level with Emily Reese. We could definitely use your support, so if you're able to become a patron for as little as a dollar a month, we'd be grateful. Learn more about that amazing life-changing process at patreon.com/level. I'm Emily Reese. Sam Keenan is our producer. Say hi, Sam.
Hey!
You can follow us on Twitter at Level with Emily, and learn more about Sam and me at june-media.com. Don't forget, June is J-O-O-N.